360 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia. It is a beautiful and chilly day. We are so excited to share this morning with you. I'm Josh Harrison. Harris, not Harrison. Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLule.
Good morning.
And we are here with you, helping you find joy in the journey. We are eternally grateful for this time we get to share together. How are you doing today, Allison?
I am hanging in there. How about you, Josh?
Oh, I am blessed. What do they say? Too blessed to be stressed, but I struggle with anxiety, so I guess, anyway. But Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So we cast our cares to the Lord and watch him work all things for good.
Hallelujah. Okay, so as we're in Advent, I was trying to find a prayer for clarity, because it's nice to know that we need to have some clarity going on. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, as we journey through this sacred season of Advent, we come before you with open hearts, seeking your presence. In the midst of the busyness and distractions of the world, grant us clarity of mind and spirit. Help us to see your light shining through the darkness, guiding us toward a deeper understanding of your love. In this time of waiting and preparation, may we find stillness to hear your voice clearly and wisdom to discern your will. As we await the birth of our Savior, renew our sense of purpose and direction. Let your peace fill our hearts, that we may move forward with hope, trusting in your perfect plan for our lives. Lord, open our eyes to the needs of those around us and our hearts to embrace the true meaning of the season. May your clarity lead us deeper faith, great compassion, and a spirit of service. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful prayer.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer indeed. And I had an interesting encounter yesterday.
What happened?
The privilege of doing three little chats with our good friend John Henry Spann. You know him, the Dean of Academics from
St. John Bosco Academy. I sure do know him.
I said the dean from John Bosco Academy, so I hope St. John Bosco will forgive me in heaven. But, yeah, this guy, really interesting stuff. He lives completely off the grid. Now, not totally off the grid, but him and his family live in a house on top of a mountain in Georgia. Just, yeah, pretty remote.
Yes.
No internet. No cable. They do have electricity. That's and indoor plumbing. So praise God for that. But yeah, I mean, just really intentional in their relationship with each other and the Lord. It's really interesting stuff. They live off some of the food that they hunt up there. I mean, it's pretty, I don't want to say primitive, but I would say the better word is just connected, plugged in.
Yeah. With hello, what's important, right?
And exactly.
Just living off the land. No, you know, yeah, he is a very nice guy. My daughter has one of his classes this year again, so yeah.
So he said they put out, I guess, traps around their area. Sometimes they'll have different things, like possums show up in these traps or things like that. He said sometimes there's bobcats that show up, and they are feisty.
He said, my gosh.
He told me a story of one of his friends, because I see this. There's a YouTube channel I follow where it's a wildlife rehabilitation place, and they have these baby bobcats. Like, oh, this is the cutest thing ever. But he told me a story of a friend of his who found a baby, not a baby, a bobcat in his trap, and there's some way to, like, release it, you know what I mean? And he had to put something around it, and he got all the way to his car. And when he let go of the leash or the thing that was safely keeping the distance between him and the bobcat, by the way, he had all the windows rolled up. I mean, it was such
a... I am scared to even hear what you're about to say.
Protective measures. He said when he released it and he drove off, the last he saw is it was clinging to the tailgate trying to attack his car.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess they're not the cuddle muffins I see on YouTube, but...
Yeah. I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But they sure do look cute, right?
Yeah, adorable. Absolutely. but I will say, on the YouTube channel, this thing is like a baby, right? And it's super cute at first. And then once it gets past, like, even a couple of months, as he's trying to pet it, it's just... attacking his arm, like playfully, but it's like, this is why you could never have this thing as a pet. Like he's explaining it to you. So if you're thinking of a bobcat for Christmas, maybe just go with a kitty.
Or hamster or a dog. No, I'm excited. My at Bosco, they're going to have all the seniors singing at St. Brendan's tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're going to be singing some beautiful songs, so I'm excited about that.
Wonderful. Do you know what they are?
I don't know. It's going to be a surprise. At least for me.
Any kiddos singing?
My oldest. Oh, my freshman at Bosco.
Oh, that's going to be heavenly.
It's going to be heavenly, so I'm looking forward to that.
Was that in replacement? Is that their winter dance?
As seniors, they have to be there. I think they are required to take choir or chorus.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful to see how all these kids that might not have any background in choir or chorus come together and how they work with them and how it sounds so angelic.
By the way, don't you think that'd be a great way to tame the hormones at a high school dance, at a Catholic high school dance, instead of all the pop hits that can kind of, you know, not have the best messages? Just play Gregorian chant and see how that works out.
Sounds marvelous, Josh. Sounds marvelous.
What do we have today?
Well, you know what? So Father Vincent, we actually did a recording with him, but we were having some technical difficulties. So Josh and I are going to hold the fort today with the gospel reflection for Sunday's Mass. So but we love Father Vincent. Chuck Persner is going to be here with us as well, talking about the saint of the day, St. Lucy, which she is a special saint. Kathleen Lindemann over at St. Michael the Archangel. She is going to be talking about Advent with neighbors, how we can guide our children to show Christ's love to our neighbors. And then coming up next, Father Mark White from Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, as well as Pastor at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is going to be talking about a wonderful way we can serve in Advent.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, as well as St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia. Welcome back, Father Mark.
Hey, great to be here. Great to be here. Always good to be with you guys.
Well, we're so blessed to have you. You really stretch our minds and hearts every time you are on air with us. And I got a question for you. So Advent is a season of preparation. So I'd love to know, just what's the importance of being in a disposition of receptivity during Advent?
That's great. Great question, Josh. I think it really, you know, it's the beginning of the new liturgical year, and it's a reminder that God comes to us first. You know, I mean, for most of us, we're baptized as an infant, you know, that it's first us being receptors, if you will, receiving the very grace and the life of God. And that actually signifies the fact that, you know, it was Christ that first came to us, and it was an expectation that he would come. And so receptivity and readiness is to be always ready to receive him in the way he wants to come. You know, we don't consider enough, I don't think, are we ready to receive gifts? Mm. I think we want gifts, you know, in life, but are we ready? I remember a friend of mine, he had no business getting this, but his parents gave him a brand new souped up Chevy Camaro.
Wow.
He was like 16 years old.
Oh, no.
And I remember thinking, first I thought, you know, why didn't I get that? But then I thought, well, because my parents loved me. That's why they didn't give me that. He had no business receiving this. He wrecked it the first day he got it, almost killed everyone in the car.
Wow.
And what it showed us was he even able to receive this? And I think, you know, how much greater a gift is God?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we say, well, I want God's love, or I want get this from God, but can I receive what he wants to give me? I think Advent is a great opportunity to ask that question that the Lord is always asking us. Am I ready to receive him, and or have I put obstacles in the way of receiving him? You know, and Advent is a time to maybe remove those and to get ready. And, you know, the Lord is asking us even in this first week of Advent, you know, when he says in Scripture to us, you know, that holiness, he says through St. Paul, that's the only thing that's going to prepare us for the coming. Remember when St. Paul says it like this, he says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts. And then he answers the questions, why? To be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Advent means, coming. And so we're focused on that. But the question is, are we ready? Because there are obstacles we can put in the way of our Lord coming into our lives in the way we would want him to, the way he would want us to.
So, Father, what are some of those obstacles that you're talking about that many of us encounter during this season that actually pull back from the beauty of the fullness of Advent?
Great question. Yeah, I think one commentator I was reading recently said there are two, and, you know, Jesus summarized them in his own words, where he says, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. So kind of using this idea of sleep, this metaphor. How? Well, carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. Now, make that a little bit more applicable. It's not that we all have to be out partying and whatnot, and that's, you know, because a lot of us aren't going to do that. But we can make pleasure too important. You know, we live in a utilitarian culture where people often, without even realizing it, that their life becomes about seeking the next high, the next comfort, the next pleasure. And this type of year, and from a secular perspective, can become all about that. And some of these pleasures are fine in moderation, you know, the amusing entertainment, the food, the parties. But I think to a large degree, when they become the principal reason that this season is a part of our lives, we block God's coming, you know, because we're putting pleasure first. We're not putting his coming first. And I think Americans really fall into that. Another is fear. You know, I mean, think about all the anxiety we struggle with in these days, particularly with the things we cannot control in our lives. I mean, there are relationships and people we're going to see around the holidays that we're not really satisfied with the way those things are. There are things with our work, certainly throughout the world, current events. And we could just focus on all those things and be just frantic about them or worried about them or depressed about them. And that will block us from receiving God, who wants to bring us hope and joy for something that's far greater than anything in this life. And that is his coming. Not just the first time, but as we ponder that to be ready for his coming again, where he promises to take all those things away. So that's why we need to be ready for that coming, because that's the only thing that gives us really true hope in this life.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Father, I believe you're telling us, too, that there is a distinction and a real significance of us focusing on Our Lady during this season to help bring us closer to Christ. Can you share a little more about that?
Yeah, no, I you know, to me, I like to call her the hero of Advent. And I think the reason, you know, why that makes sense is obviously there's a lot of focus on her during this season of Advent, being the mother of God, which would make sense. Even our Protestant brothers and sisters, you know, they would actually talk about her this time of year. Most of the time she's not mentioned by them. But there's this beautiful quote that reminds me of her importance during this time of year from a priest named Father Jean Corbone. He wrote a good portion of the Catholic Catechism. And he talks about how Mary models receptivity for us, being receptive to the Lord's promised gift of himself. Listen to what he says, beautiful quote in his book, The Wellspring of Worship. He says, quote, the entire energy of the gift, speaking of the Lord's promised gift of himself, says, quote, patiently poured out at the heart of Jerusalem ends here in a fountain. Now, he's calling Mary a fountain in this sense. And he says this about the fountain. He says, in a fountain, Mary, whose vital energy takes the form of acceptance. Think about that, acceptance. And he goes on, he says this, she has been fashioned by the Spirit and sees without realizing it that the most fruitful activity of the human person is to be able to receive God. Let me say that again, to be able to receive God. That's the first thing we have to do. You know, the Immaculate Conception, the Annunciation, right? That moment where the Word is made flesh, we celebrate that Immaculate Conception just in a few days where Our Lady, God thought this was so important, that with Our Lady, he gave her a special grace so that she would be able and ready and fit to receive this so great a gift, the Word made flesh, that through her, we would all receive the gift. You know, not just through, you know, obviously her intercession, her being our mother, but him coming into the world through her. But she's also a model for us. Mm-hmm. And so much of who she is was she was able to receive her son, not just once, but throughout the life of being his mother, being prompted, continually pondering his word, being receptive to his presence and his guiding and learning and growing. And so she gives us the ability to do that. As a model and an intercessor for us. So I think she's such a great focus for us, and we will focus on her a lot in the readings, to help us to also receive the Lord in a fresh new way in this Advent season.
Wow, what a gift, Father. And just the importance of spotlighting, like you just beautifully did, the original message you shared. We need to be in a disposition of receptivity. Mm-hmm. And who is a better role model for being in that posture of surrender to Christ, but the mother of Christ, right?
Absolutely.
Who said, who gave God her yes, whose last recorded words in Scripture were, do whatever he tells you.
Thank you so much, Father Mark White. We look forward to seeing you next Monday.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:20, and we are back with Food for the Soul, today's gospel reflection. Allison, will you tee us off with the Scripture reading, which is actually not today's gospel, it's Sunday's gospel.
It sure is. Yep, this upcoming Sunday's gospel. And it is a gospel from Luke chapter 3, verse 10 through 18. The crowds ask John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of stuff here. A lot of good stuff. I have this Bible that I love called the Didache Bible, I highly recommend it, with commentaries based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really great stuff. So I think I'll just take a few out of here. Why don't we say 3:11? So it says, "And he answered him, 'He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise.'" I'm going to read straight from this bullet point. Almsgiving, whether money or necessary goods, or in the form of improving social conditions, is always an act of justice and a manifestation of fraternal charity that pleases God. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1942 and 2447. And I think, you know, sometimes we think that this has to be a huge thing that we do, like roll up our sleeves. Do I just surrender half my bank account? I think we forget how small steps can make radical impacts in people's lives. So, I mean, a small example is this season I've been doing some outreach at the homeless shelter, the Basher Homeless Shelter downtown. The Shrine and the neighboring church actually unite to create a homeless shelter with their facilities. And you can do you can literally just go. They do have overnight opportunities there, but you can literally just go and cook a meal for these people or help pack lunch for them. Super simple. A lot of people do it as a parish, but you'd be surprised just how that small act of charity radically blesses these people and helps them have confidence, in God's, you know, the people who are reaching out to them, a little bit more trust, I would think, in society and their fellow man, but also experience the love of God, right? I mean, so it's a reminder, I think, a lot of times the blessings God gives us are not just for ourselves, they're meant to be given away.
Well, they are. And, you know, as a mom of three, if we don't have time, or if our schedules conflict with actually going to a soup kitchen or doing that, I know many of the parishes have giving trees.
Absolutely.
You know? And there are cards that you can take off the tree. You know, my oldest took a card. You know, a girl wanted socks. A 10-year-old girl wanted socks. And I mean, that really hit her, my daughter, hard. She's like, oh my gosh, some socks. So we got her a couple pairs of socks, right? But just those ways of showing your family that you care. And again, you don't even have to encounter them immediately right there, but just knowing that you're helping somebody and serving others. That's the key, serving others.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's some universal benchmark. I think the question is, what can we realistically do, and how is God calling us to serve? And
Amen.
Keep in mind how John tees this off. You know, this is, he's preparing the way for Christ. And what are we doing this Advent season? We are preparing our hearts to receive Christ, right? With our actions, our prayerful dispositions, our repentance, right? And the question is, like, what is God calling me to do right now to draw nearer to him, especially in this season? And one thing I've started to do is really try to up my time in adoration. You know, at the end of the day, I might be tempted to, I don't know, do a, anyway, work on a personal project or whatever. And I've said, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm really going to try to go to adoration for a specific period of time and log a certain amount of miles in that adoration chapel or in front of Jesus daily. I typically do this on the regular, but I want to add a little bit more to the plate to get my heart in the Advent season. It just kind of accidentally happened. But what happens is, I've heard someone say, you actually, your mornings begin with your evenings. Right? So how am I relating to God in my evening and my time of prayer? Anything that's been meaningful for you this Advent season, Allison?
Well, you know, I know many of the parishes have penance services. And I know at St. Michael's, our parish, I do believe it's next Tuesday. So again, if you have not been to reconciliation in a while, if you haven't been ever, you know, go be reconciled. And the peace is amazing. When you leave the confessional, I feel like you could fly out of there. It's such a beautiful feeling. So penance services, that's what we're going to be doing. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, John's humility, too, is really such a mission statement for our lives. You know, he says, I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals, right? It's what a model of humility that reminds us that our efforts should really point to Christ. And I think this is specifically, you know, spotlighted in 520 of the Catechism. And it says, you know, in all of his life, Jesus presents himself as our model. He is the perfect man who invites us to become his disciples and follow him. In humbling himself, he has given us an example to imitate, and through his prayer, he draws us to pray. And by his poverty, he calls us to accept freely the privation and persecutions that may come our way. And that's from 520 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And who is modeling that so beautifully in this moment but John the Baptist?
Well, and you know, looking at that, hello, when Jesus is around, what does he do? He washes the feet of others.
Mm-hmm.
So our amazing Lord, we're called to follow him and do what he does. So we are called to serve just as he does.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting? It's almost like a paradox, but John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals, and yet Jesus, even though the King of Kings deems it worthy or a good and, you know, act for him to actually stoop down and wash our feet.
I know.
The feet of the people who are not, quote, worthy to untie his sandals.
I know.
Thongs.
It's amazing. We are blessed, aren't we?
Absolutely. So one other thing really quick, this image of the winnowing fan, right? So interestingly, it was a farm instrument used to toss grain into the air, and it tossed grain into the air, which allowed the wind to scatter the chaff the indelible waste. The grain could then be swept up and gathered. So this practice provides an image for how God will separate. This is what it says here. Will separate the faithful from the unrepentant at the end of the world. Catechism 681. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder, you know, we really want to lean into God's words, lean into his sacraments, and, you know, use him for our daily dependence and daily bread so he can purify us, because sanctification is an ongoing process.
Amen. And now it's time for some news. Pope Francis welcomed Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas at the Vatican on Thursday. During the audience, they discussed the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and the prospects for peace in the Holy Land. According to the Vatican, both emphasized the importance of reaching a solution for the two states through dialogue and diplomacy. The Holy See said the talks are also highlighted the important contribution of the Catholic Church to Palestine society and its role in providing humanitarian assistance in Gaza. The United Kingdom's ban on children receiving puberty-blocking drugs to facilitate a gender transition is now permanent. The Catholic News Agency reports, citing an announcement from the country's Department of Health and Social Care. In March, England paused the prescription of puberty blockers for gender transitions, and Scotland followed suit in April. According to the statement, the decision is based on independent expert advice from the Commission of Human Medicines, which has determined that there is currently an unacceptable safety risk for the ones receiving this type of treatment. And this is the last weekend to venerate the relics of St. Anthony of Padua here in the Atlanta area. Today, the relics are at Holy Trinity Church in Petrie City, tomorrow at Holy Vietnamese Martyrs in Norcross, and Sunday at Holy Cross in Atlanta. So for more information, check our Quest calendar, or you can go to the Georgia Bulletin for more information about that.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:33.
We are so happy to have Chuck Purser back with us. He is going to inspire us with another saint today. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison, and good morning, Josh.
Great morning, Chuck.
Yes, it is. It's Friday the 13th, but as Catholics, we don't believe in luck.
No, we don't.
We instead talk about saints, don't we?
Amen.
All right. On the topic of saints, you know, a young girl was once asked by her priest, what is a saint? And she pointed to the beautiful stained glass window that adorned the perimeter of her church where they were standing when the conversation took place. And she said, saints are those who let the light in.
Mm.
What a great answer. And, you know, today we celebrate a saint who quite literally does just that in the great virgin and martyr, St. Lucy, whose name quite literally is derived from the word lucid or the light.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Sicily on the eastern side of the island in a town called Siragusa, spelled as though we would spell Syracuse, New York, interestingly enough. Lucy made a secret vow as a young girl to remain a consecrated virgin. Now, her parents were opposed to her decision, but this is interesting. When prayers at the tomb of St. Agatha miraculously resulted in the cure of her mother, who had been suffering from a very long and grave illness, both Lucy and her mother were suddenly on the same page. And I just thought that was interesting. You know, a little point of trivia, St. Lucy would draw inspiration from St. Agatha, as both of them would find their way into Eucharistic prayer number one, which is no doubt being proclaimed in many of our churches today on her feast day. And of course, those seven virgin martyr saints are Agatha, Agnes, Perpetua and Felicity, Cecilia, and of course, Lucy and Agatha. But she did reject the arranged marriage to the young pagan man. The dowry that was earmarked for her pagan bridegroom was instead donated to the poor. Now, this infuriated the jilted bridegroom. He became enraged, and he outed her as a Christian, which at the time, under Emperor Diocletian, who was the cause for many martyred saints during those late 200, early 300-year time frame, Christianity was still illegal. Because it wasn't until the year 314 when Emperor Constantine ratified the Edict of Milan that Christians could safely even be seen in public.
Wow.
So Lucy was ultimately persecuted and tortured for her Christian faith. Her eyes were gouged out. Mm. She was stabbed to death. And that is why she is the patroness of those who deal with any malady, imperfection, or disease of the eyes, blindness, glaucoma, cataracts, macular degeneration, color blindness, you name it. And she's always called upon as an intercessor in those situations. And, you know, we think of all the people in our lives who go through these type things.
Oh, yes.
I know I, for one, seek the intercession of St. Lucy quite often. Mm-hmm. And she's also the patron saint of Sicily. So, again, another amazing virgin martyr saint, a personal favorite of mine. My niece actually took St. Lucy as her confirmation name. I am her godfather. So
wonderful.
It was a little bit of coaxing on my part, I have to admit. But we presented a few saints to her, and that was the one that resonated most with her, and
wow.
That's who she chose.
No, that's beautiful. Yeah. A quote from St. Lucy, "Those whose hearts are pure are temples of the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
And talking about her purity, you know, beautiful. What a gift. That's what we're called to be.
Yeah, well, the Virgin Martyr Saints, this is what they offer us, this idea of purity. And, you know, back during these times, women were viewed as nothing more than baby makers, really, to make male babies, Roman soldiers, so that Rome could expand their empire. And when a woman chose to do something like this, it was met in the same way that St. Lucy was met. And that's why we have all these virgin martyrs.
Yeah.
They chose to be the bride of Christ. Spousal mysticism is a term we hear sometimes. I think we used that with St. Gertrude a few weeks ago. That was a term she used to describe her life. St. Cecilia, same situation. And they stood firm in the truth. And, you know, we're still talking about them today.
Amen.
Wow. It's so interesting, too, to see this monumental courage that blossoms from somebody you would never expect. And you think, what else but the grace of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuels that kind of heroism. So she was arrested, as you know, and subject to torture for her faith. And this legend that, you know, her eyes were gouged out, but her sight was miraculously restored, making her patron saint of the blind. And just so sad about her death. But again, like it says in scripture, death is swallowed up in victory, because, you know, she may have been killed through a sword thrust to the throat in 304 AD. But here we are talking about her almost 2,000 years later, and she is inspiring and has inspired countless people in their quest to embrace their vocation and be more faithful Catholics and Christians.
A remarkable, almost unbelievable 20 churches in Rome are named after St. Lucy.
Wow.
Or Santa Lucia. I was hoping Josh might sing Santa Lucia for us today. I know he's the musician in the group. Maybe we'll
I don't know the song, but I guess I could just improv something and be excommunicated if you really want me to.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. In fact, one of the legends in Sweden, girls line up, because she's wildly venerated in Sweden as well as Italy and here in this country. But the girls proceed down the aisle to the song of Santa Lucia. They're all dressed in white to represent St. Lucy's purity. And one young girl is hailed as St. Lucy. She's walking in the end, and she has a wreath around her head with candles, because as legend had it, St. Lucy would bring food and provisions to the Christians who were hiding for fear of Emperor Diocletian in the catacombs. And it was so dark that she would light these candles atop the reef on her head so that she could see her way through. And to that point, there are some who believe that she may have actually even been the inspiration for the Advent wreath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
That is.
Yeah.
So another interesting fact. In Scandinavian countries, her feast day is marked by a Lucia procession. Say that five times fast. Where young girls wear white dresses and crowns of candles, symbolizing her role as a light bringer.
I'm going to send you a YouTube video today. I watch it every year on December 13th of this happening.
You see
to the,
it?
To the strains. Well, I watch it on YouTube. Through the magic of YouTube. And I'm going to send it to you, and it's going to be the best 4 minutes of your day.
Wow.
Really? Okay.
I'm going to send it to you both.
Please.
In fact, if you can link it to your website, I don't know if we're able to do that yet.
We will see what we can do.
I'll send it to you all, and our listeners can enjoy this. It's beautiful.
So pretty cool, too. After her death, many miracles of healing, especially related to vision, were attributed to her intercession.
Well, I'll share a funny anecdote on that front. We visit Highland Beach, Florida as a family, and less than a mile down the road is the Church of St. Lucy. Mm. And everybody's sitting around the pool one day, and there's a gentleman who's struggling with an eye ailment, and he was quite concerned. He thought he was going to go blind. And everybody's ruminating and discussing it. And finally, I said, did anyone stop to think that less than a mile down the road, we have a church named after the patroness of good eyesight? Why don't we all do a little 9-day novena for Phil?
Yeah.
And you're not going to believe it. He was healed.
Praise the Lord.
Really?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
You, of course you knew that.
They are our prayer partners.
St. Lucy was.
Amazing. They're our prayer partners.
Yeah, he came out of it fine. And, you know, again, this is just our saints at work. They wait for us. They wait for our prayers. And with today being December 13th, I always say when you call upon a saint during their feast day, I believe their intercession is especially powerful.
Absolutely. I have here some words from Pope Francis about St. Lucy. He said, St. Lucy tells us that life is made to be given. She lived this out in the supreme form of martyrdom, but the value of the gift of self is universal. It is the secret to true happiness. Man does not become completely fulfilled by having or by doing. One is fulfilled by loving, by giving of oneself. And this can also be understood as a secret of the name Lucy. A person is full of light to the extent that he or she is a gift to others. In reality, every person is a gift. He or she is a precious gift. And
amen.
It's so true.
Serving each other as members of the mystical body of Christ. St. Lucy, Virgin and Martyr.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, back for an inspiring block of good old-fashioned, heartwarming conversation.
I love it.
Thanks to Allison's fun little social cards that she has for us today. Allison, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so I came across this and I was like, this would be a marvelous thing to talk about. What life-changing event you thought would be negative has actually been a positive one in your life?
Oh, that's good. That's a great question. Well, I think that we think about Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so, but a lot of times that doesn't become crystal clear until we're looking in the rearview mirror.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately. And often a few extra miles down the road. I a couple of things come to my mind. One is I thought that there were about 1,100 submissions to be a resident comedian at a very big theater outside in a different state. I'll leave it there. And I was apparently the first selection. And it was a pretty promising financial opportunity, but there are just certain things with the production that I would have been a part of that just didn't totally align with my faith and my integrity. So It was pretty tough, but with a lot of prayer and spiritual direction, I decided to pass on this opportunity. And similarly, at the same time, there was someone who was interested in representing me for cruise ship work. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't, you know, that can also be a pretty sweet gig. But it just, again, there are multiple reasons that didn't feel right. Probably the most important one is that I'd like to get to daily mass and adoration, and that would have been really tough to pull off. Some cruises I do think have priests on board, but not, I don't think the ships I would have been involved with, that would have been a regular happening. So again, there was some push and pull there. And what happened? I ended up spending about all this extra time in Atlanta. And who did I get to spend a lot of that time with? My father,
yes,
who's having some health challenges, who passed away about 3 months ago. And I look back, it just like all those disappointments were such a gift from God. I'd go through them all again to re-experience that time. And I think about that Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Jesus, that you didn't give me what I wanted, because that would have been all I got.
Yes. No, absolutely. With mine, I had worked for Lennox China, the dinnerware company, for almost 20 years here in Atlanta. It was eyes and ears. I mean, that was what I did all the time, right? Still faithful Catholic, but was considered the Lennox lady here in Atlanta to all the stores, and would travel to South Carolina, you know, Tennessee, Alabama, helped out at the Gift Mart. And from doing that almost 20 years, COVID hit. And my job was in department stores quite often and in public. And when COVID hit, I was laid off, and I had never been laid off from a job before. So single mom, three kids, laid off, you know, no opportunity ahead of me, because I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, what am I going to do next, right? Because you kind of put yourself with your position. Even though I'm a child of God, I was always, Lennox is what I knew. So you know, was employed for a year and then ended up working in the residential mortgage business, which was a huge growth opportunity for me just in general. Just showing the Lord showed me with that job how much I was truly capable of. And he really put me out of my comfort zone, though the company was a great, great company. It was just not what I would normally do on a regular basis. And if it wasn't for my job with Lennox ending, I wouldn't have gone to the other company. And then even this opportunity wouldn't have come up for me, truly.
Isn't that so cool how God works that
way,
though? If, you know, one thing leads to another, and it's often sequential. Just really quick on that point, because I forgot about COVID. I had a cruise ship contract, and I had just gotten a promotion, a pay bump. And yeah, what happens right before that manifests, COVID hits.
Yeah.
And the world stops. But what did I do with a lot of that time? We started a pro-life ministry where we were a regular prayerful presence outside of a local abortion clinic that just happened to be about a mile from where I lived, maybe a mile and a half. And the following year, I think 29 babies were born that were saved from abortion outside that clinic.
Praise
God.
And
then 3 years later, the clinic closed down.
Yeah. Again, so, God's timing and everything, right?
Amazing stuff that God, again, he can just take the worst and make it the best.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Kathleen Lindemann, the Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church. We're happy to have you here. Welcome, Kathleen.
Well, good morning. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent to you, too. So, Kathleen, how can we teach our kids to be the light of Christ to our neighbors?
All right. This Advent season, we've got the tree up. Most likely, we've been lighting those Advent candles on our wreath, preparing our homes. So we're preparing our homes for Advent. Why don't we invite our neighbors into our homes? What a beautiful, teachable moment that could be. Identify a few neighbors that you could invite over to your home, even if it's just for cookies and drinks. Ask them what is something that you can pray for them. Reach out to your neighbors, make baked goods with your children, but don't just take the baked goods over to your neighbors. Write a little prayer for their neighbors. One of the things I've done in the past is I have made delicious goods, which I hope are delicious cookies for my neighbors. But instead of just giving them, I'll write a little prayer for their family so that they not only have this beautiful plate of cookies, but they have a prayer that I'm writing for them. Like when the new year comes, there's beautiful New Year's prayers for the new year. And I'll get pretty stationary, like a scroll, and it has a beautiful Catholic prayer. You can get this right off the internet. And so when people come over for dinner, I give them a little take-home box, and it will have the prayer for what I'm praying for their family and what they can take that prayer and then pray with their family with that prayer. And so it's showing the light of Christ through our actions of hospitality. And your house doesn't have to be perfect. It just, your door just needs to be open. Who doesn't want to come over and, you know, share a meal? We talked before Thanksgiving about how we can incorporate prayers at the Thanksgiving table. We can do the same thing at Christmas time. Everybody's gathering for Christmas. Everybody's sitting at the table. Again, find a prayer that works for your family. Copy the prayer, cut it up into, okay, we've got 10 people come for dinner. We've got 10 verses or 10 sentences that we can cut out, put it under their plate. Everybody partakes in the Christmas dinner. After dinner, talk about, or after you're having a social event with your neighbors, talk about what's your favorite Christmas memory. What's your favorite time? But the most important thing that I do is invite everybody on my street to Christmas Mass.
Oh, wow.
Whether
do
they're
you
Catholic
really?
Or not. Yep.
Remember, how do you do that? Do you knock on every door?
I see them or I put out a text. We have a group text in our neighborhood. Anybody like to go to Midnight Mass? We're leaving at 10:30. We'd love to have you come with us. Beautiful Christmas music. Everyone.
Wow.
Whether they're Catholic or not, I invite them.
Wow.
And remember, 9 rejections before someone says yes. You got to be comfortable with the rejection.
Yes.
And that's okay. People are busy. People have their other plans. They are going to their churches or whatever. But always ask, because that's the invitation. That's evangelization, right? Bringing Jesus to someone, whether they accept that invitation or not, is on them. But you truly want that to happen. So a couple of years ago, I invited my neighbor next door. And they said yes, and they came. And a year and a half later, he passed.
Oh, wow.
But he enjoyed that Christmas Mass. He loved being at that Christmas Mass. What if I would have never asked him?
Never been.
You know, it kind of started, I don't know if that Mass started his real journey towards looking at God. He was realizing he was getting, you know, frail. He had a heart condition. I still pray for him. Every time I receive communion, I pray for him. But those are opportunities of grace that God can use you into helping. One of the other things I do is, have you ever heard the legend of the candy cane?
Yes, yes.
It's a great little legend. Again, you can get it off the internet. And everything about the candy cane is scriptural. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. So I buy these little candy canes, and I print off these little verses of what the candy cane means, and I pass them out like they're pennies.
Huh.
I go to Publix. Oh, Janie, thank you so much for being here. I don't know if you've ever heard the legend of the candy cane, but I want to bless you with the candy cane today.
Great.
Merry Christmas. And everywhere I go, it's never happy holidays.
Mm.
No, we're Christians. If we're going to be the bearers of the light of Christ, it's Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Passing out the legend of the candy cane, and it's wrapped, so it's not like you're giving somebody something that, you know, they might
open.
Think might be weird or something. And there's a little candy cane. I cannot tell you how many times I've given this where people go, they'll read the first line and go, no way. I've seen candy canes all my life. I didn't know this was all about Jesus.
Yes.
And yet it's all about Jesus, the candy cane.
I never knew that until just right now.
Here you
now.
Go, Josh.
Oh, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, your first client. This is great.
Practical ways.
Yes.
Practical ways that we can be the light of Christ in a happy and cheery way. And just get somebody to think. It's about the seeds planted.
Yes.
I might never see it take fruition, but I can hold the seeds.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
Wow. And now I know my new attack strategy for sharing God's goodness. This candy cane. Who doesn't want a candy cane?
I know, right?
Wow. And I'm reading this right now. This is so cool. A candy maker wanted a piece of candy to remind his customers to celebrate Jesus at Christmas. He created the candy cane as a special gift to the Lord. The candy maker began with a candy that stood for purity of the Lord. He shaped it like a J for Jesus. When turned upside down, he saw that it became the staff of his shepherd. The red stripes would remind everyone the cost of their salvation that came through Jesus' blood. He added the peppermint flavor to symbolize the spices, which were gifts from the wise men. Today, this simple candy cane still reminds us to celebrate the greatest gift of Christmas, Jesus. I knew none of that until just right now. And
it's a seed. We just planted a seed, Allison.
Yes,
hurry up,
yes.
Water him.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
What a gift. You know, wow. I mean, and this is so relatable. This is relatable evangelization. This is not a 2x4 to the head. It is palatable. It is sweet. Wow. Well, you did it again. We are so grateful, Kathleen Lindemann, for illuminating the reason for the season and helping us prepare our hearts this Advent. You are a treasure, and we are so grateful and look forward to the next conversation.
Come see us at Christmas Day Mass.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
I mean, she just has the most dynamic voice. It's just perfect. I wish, like, my Bible app had the voice of Kathleen Lindemann just reading scripture to me.
She's amazing. No, she is a beam of light and loves the Lord and her faith, and you can tell just by our wonderful conversations with her.
Just that soothing maternal tone makes you realize everything's going to be okay.
Amen, amen. Well, we have a lot of great events coming up this weekend throughout the Archdiocese. So don't forget St. Nicholas Photo Experience and Market. That's going to be at Mary Our Queen this Saturday, the 14th, from 9:30 to 4. Again, Advent Lessons and Carols at St. Michael the Archangel, 6:30 to 7:30. That's going to be that evening. So what a wonderful full day of events there. And again, those relics of beloved St. Anthony visits here in Atlanta, though, that's an amazing experience and opportunity that we normally don't get. So definitely go to those parishes. For more information about all of those, you can go to our events calendar on our website or on the app.
Wow, that, a lot of great stuff to do, to experience in our diocese as we prepare our hearts this Advent for the coming of our Savior, What a gift.
Yeah, and yet, and after our show, of course, Teresa Tomeo is coming up 10 o'clock with More to Life. Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, relationship reboot. Are you dealing with a strained or broken relationship? So I know a lot of us can relate to that. So great opportunity to listen to that. And, of course, at noon, have lunch with Father John Ricardo.
Have lunch with our buddy, Father John Ricardo. Always such deep insights. We are incredibly grateful. And we are incredibly grateful for you for helping us find joy in the journey. Thanks for being a part of our Quest family. Until Monday, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day. We'll